So we want to continue a discussion now that began with the disclosure this week by Google of the kinds of requests and number of requests it has received from governments on search commands and takedown commands, censorship requests, all the like. Yesterday on The Takeaway, we spoke with this we spoke about this with law professor Jeffrey Rosen. He claimed these encounters between Google and nation states throughout the world represent a historic moment with implications throughout the 21st century. If you missed that conversation, you can hear it on our website at thetakeaway.org. But after the program, we got in touch with Nicole Wong, the deputy general counsel for Google. She's also a vice president of the company. And I asked her about this idea that these days governments have to have a Google policy and Google has to have a foreign policy of its own.
I don't know that I would describe it as a foreign policy. The tool that we launched recently, which does, in fact, show around the world for from Google's perspective the types of requests we've received from governments to either remove data or ask for user information, we've actually been talking about this for over a year, about how to be more transparent with users about what government activity is going on in terms of the Internet. And so for us, this was really about transparency for users, transparency really for global policymakers, to think about how we are governing what is a global platform.
And you're trying to be neutral as you project this transparency and respond to these decisions, but I'm wondering how you categorize them. A takedown order from, you know, Mr. Joe Citizen, who's offended by something they see on YouTube. A takedown request from a company which says, no, that's libel or intellectual property infringement. And a government which says, we have a takedown request. I mean, is the government's request different? Is it an international incident compared with some of these others? Or is it all customer service as far as you're concerned?
I think it depends very much on the nature of the takedown request. And you're right. Like this page that we launched is really very focused on what is the government's action. But in some cases, really, what the government brings to our attention, they bring it almost just like a user. So they may be sending us a request that says, hey, there's some content up there which is pornography, or it might be hate speech. And it may well violate the policies of our product anyway. And so just like any user, we would take that down. It is only when the request that comes from the government actually is in the content's in line with our policies, doesn't violate any U.S. laws, and so we need to do a more narrow analysis on whether it violates the law in that country and whether we are bound by that law.
On the China situation, the issue was raised, okay, if freedom of speech comes in conflict with the actual business model at Google, at least the corporation would have us believe, we go down on the side of freedom of speech. Is that really true?
It is because it's very consistent with our mission, which is to make the world's information universally accessible and useful. And I have to say that in leaving China, we did so with some regret because we really believe that we made great progress in the 4 years that we were there. We were the first search engine in China to actually include a notice when we had to remove results because of government requirements. And that transparency for users is now an industry standard in China, and we think that's great. We also, like, I was recently reading a survey that was done by the journal Nature that said that in a poll among scientists in China, over 80% of them were using Google because Google was the most comprehensive index for them to do the type of research they wanted to do. And so I really do feel like we made a great deal of progress. Having said that, our experience, particularly in the last year, was that there was a trajectory of increased censorship that was no longer consistent with our ability to do business in accordance with our mission and our principles.
Well, you describe the business model of Google and also this sense of developing standards. The ubiquity of Google, of course, is part of the reason why you are developing these standards as you proceed down this path. Are you comfortable with being the author of a lot of these standards? Are you worried at Google that the whole thing's going to be rewritten by governments at some point in the future and that everything you've done will be part of the early days of this sort of Internet epoch that we're in?
I do feel that we are in the early days. If you think about sort of the history of major media like print or radio or TV,
we've heard of those.
We're only about 12 years into the history of the internet, right? So this is early days, and I think our hope as a company is that we are an active participant in how we shape the future. I do hope that more companies and governments come to the table to have this discussion. As you can see from that map that we launched this week, there are so many players trying to decide what can other folks say on the internet. And if we are going to continue as a platform that is globally available, and I think that's the real promise of the internet, is to have a communication platform for people across the world,
right,
then we actually, as a global society, have to come to terms with how we'll deal with each other.
Well, then, Nicole Wong, Vice President of Google, I wonder if you're personally frustrated by the sort of politics associated with this new Supreme Court nomination that's coming up, focused on, again, abortion and litmus tests and all these politics, when maybe the question should be all about this domain of international law.
Oh, I think that we have to deal with this at many levels. I hope that a wise choice is made for our own governments.
So what would you ask? What would you ask the nominee?
That's a great question. I'm not sure that the nominee necessarily has to have a view on the global politics of this. I do think that the nominee's perspective on the free flow of information is an important one.
You would endorse free flow of information, open source law in that domain as opposed to the other?
For a U.S. Supreme Court, that's probably the reach of their jurisdiction.
Well, you can hear there. The issue is certainly significant to the company Google, regardless of where they come down on a particular nominee. We spoke with Nicole Wong, Deputy General Counsel for Google, yesterday, right after the program, part of our discussion that we've had all week long on what's going on with Google and Google's foreign policy. Coming up, the Tribeca Film Festival kicked off this week in New York. Our film contributor is all over it. Rafer Guzman tells us which films are worth looking out for and what you might watch for. That's later on this hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.